And this morning, we're going to be doing a lesson from Ezekiel. But if you will, if you have your Bible, hold it up. Everybody have their Bible? Good. If you don't have it, shame on you. Because how are you going to keep up with what I'm doing, what I'm saying, or what I do if I mess up? Let me ask you a question. How would you like to see like God? How would you be able to, not with binoculars, but be able to look out and really see like God can see? I mean, like I put on here, really see what God sees. How many would like to do that today? Raise your hand. Would you like to do that? I see some of the kids doing it. Josh wants to do it. But you know, some more back there want to do it. There is a real important part of this that says, if you want to see like God, you're taking on a responsibility that's pretty important. Because that means that you can see what everybody's doing. That means that you can understand what everybody's doing. It means that we can look at each other and understand. So we have to be careful. We got to look at ourselves. Art read for us this morning about a hypocrite. And I want us to think about this, that as we look in Ezekiel 8, to make sure we're looking at ourselves. Because as we said this morning in the class, we said seek peace, but we said you have to have peace in yourself. So you need to take a look at yourself first before you see like God and make sure you're doing things right. When you look at a definition, this came out of Easton's Bible Dictionary, one who puts on a mask, feigns himself to be what he is not, a dissembler in religion. Our Lord severely rebuked the scribes and Pharisees, and we talked about this. And Art read from Matthew chapter 6, the hypocrite's hope shall perish. The Hebrew word rendered hypocrite means godless or profane. So there is this part of us that says, all right, if I'm going to accept the responsibility of seeing others wide open, I better look at myself, right? That's not always easy. And it's not always a fun thing to do, is it? Because when we're open, as we are to God, nothing's hidden, is it? Nothing is put to the side. Nothing is somewhere else and, oh yeah, he won't see this. You'll be able to see it all. Ezekiel 8 lets you do this, and we'll talk about it. When you think about the part as far as hypocrites, one of the very first chapters you always think of is Matthew 23. And we made reference to it this morning. Woe is used a lot. And here it says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win a proselyte, and when he's won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as what? As yourselves. Then when you carry on a little farther, it says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside you're full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. If you turn to Matthew 23 real quick, it's interesting as you go to that chapter, and I realize we just picked a few verses because of time. I want to try to finish on time so that I can beat Jeff, and I can say, or he can say, I'm killing him. When you turn to Matthew 23 and you look at the very first few verses, it says, then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. You know, they want the best seats. So these are important people. Then it says, therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. In other words, how many times have you heard your parents say, don't do what I do what I say to do, right? We're used to that. Listen to the next word, verse 4. For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them from one of their fingers. Isn't it interesting that when we think of this, here were the learned men. Here are the people that are supposed to be godly, and what are they doing? They're putting on, just like we'd say, another face, aren't they? And then when you come down to Job, it says, do you not know this of old, since man was placed on earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short and the joy of the hypocrite is just for a moment? It's just a moment that you can do this face. Now, as we think about this, we're going to read in Ezekiel, and you're going to get to see like God. But you're going to see some hypocrites. You're going to see in a chapter in the Bible just like God did. And you're going to see some hypocrites. Well, what am I saying here before we start looking at them? I'm saying, first of all, we need to look at ourselves honestly. We need to take personal account, don't we? We need to look inside. Because in Romans, it tells us that we'll each give an account, won't we? We'll give an account of our own deeds, and we will stand up for what we say and what we do. But remember, we're going to see like God. But that also means we're all going to see each other, aren't we? The second thing we really need to do is to understand it is not hard to be a hypocrite. It is not hard at all. Any of us can do it, can't we? And we can fall into that in a very easy manner. And then last but not least, we need to make sure we're not playing religion. We need to make sure that we're just not sitting here as a bump on the pew to be here physically, but that we're here for a reason. So as we think about that, let's go a little farther. If you think about this and you look at Matthew 7:5, remember it starts off, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." And then it comes down farther in verse 5, it says, "Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you can see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's." In other words, if we're looking at each other, we got to take care of home, don't we, first? We got to be thinking of where we are before we look at somebody else. If you will, if you'll turn to Ezekiel 8, we're going to think about this from our standpoint of a hypocrite, but we're also going to look at three things. We're going to look at three things as we read this and say we've got to be careful who we follow. We've got to be careful that even though we might call them a hypocrite, we still might need to be aware of what the Bible says and what it tells us to do. Because it doesn't give us a license to say, "Well, Josh said it's okay, so it must be okay." That's not it, is it? The Lord tells us what to do. And then the second part of it is, in here, a hypocrite can't hide, can they? And when you look at Ezekiel 8, there are going to be some individuals in here that think they can hide from God and literally try to do that. You can't do it, can you? And then the last part of it that I want to add on to it is, what we do affects others. That's the bottom line, isn't it? It doesn't matter what we call ourselves. It doesn't matter how we set the tone of it. If we are not being true to God and people are following, who's responsible? We are, aren't we? And we'll see that in just a minute. If you go ahead and turn to Ezekiel chapter 8, I want to read a few verses out of Ezekiel chapter 8. Now, in Ezekiel, we see that Ezekiel is talking to the people of Judah. And I'm not going to go all over the history, but when you come down to chapter 8, you see a scenario begin to appear to us. Listen to verse 1. It says that it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house with the elders of Judah sitting before me, that the hand of the Lord fell upon me there. Now, you picture Ezekiel is in his house. He has the elders in front of him, right, in his house. So here are these men that are wanting to probably listen to Ezekiel and see what he has to say because he's a man of God, isn't he? And listen to what happens. Now, you can picture these men sitting here as their strength of supposed to being men of God, right? They're supposed to speak for the people. They're supposed to stand up for the people. Now listen to what happens. In verse 2, "Then I looked, and there was a likeness like the appearance of fire from the appearance of his waist and downward fire, and from his waist and upward like the appearance of brightness like the color of amber." This was given to us earlier in Ezekiel 1. But here is the brightness of God. Here is truly God is light, isn't he? Here is a spectacular thing that Ezekiel's starting to see, and he's saying, can you imagine? He's sitting there with these elders, and then look what happens. It says, then I looked, and with this likeness, then in verse 3, he stretched out the form of his hand, took me by a lock of hair, and the Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven, and brought me in visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the north gate of the inner court, where the seat of the image of jealousy was, which provokes to jealousy. Verse 4, and behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, like the vision that I saw in the plain. Then he said to me, son of man, lift your eyes now toward the north. So I lifted my eyes toward the north, and there at the north of the altar gate was the image of jealousy in the entrance. Well, we know that God is a God that is jealous, don't we? We know that an image is not going to take the place of God, is it? So what's God doing? He lifts Ezekiel, you know, in this vision, takes him here, and the very first thing he sees is an idol. Now, remember where we were? These were the elders that were sitting there. So somebody had to okay that, didn't they? They had to make sure that was okay. Because it's before they even go in. So as you go a little farther, he says, lift your eyes up. Furthermore, he said to me, son of man, do you see what they are doing, the great abominations that the house of Israel commits here to make me go far away from my sanctuary? Now turn again and you will see greater abominations. We're not through. Remember, we're getting to see like God. And it's not going to be easy. He says, so he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, there was a hole in the wall. Then he said, son of man, dig in the wall. And when I dug in the wall, there was a door. And he said to me, go in and see the wicked abominations which they are doing. So I went in and saw that every sort of creeping thing, abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed all around on the walls. And there stood before them 70 men, listen to who they are, of the elders of the house of Israel, and in their midst stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan. Each man had a censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Now here's the picture that as Ezekiel is going in here, he has to go through some dirt, doesn't he? He has to go in and see. And he sees all these carved images on the wall. Your versions say different things. Were the elders even supposed to be there is a question. But here are the leaders that he's sitting with, remember? And now he sees really how they are. So we're seeing that these elders aren't really what they're pretending to be. And you know what they forgot? They forgot Deuteronomy 4, 15 through 18, which basically says, you're not supposed to have these images, are you? And it says, don't make for yourselves carved image in any form of any figure, male, female, beast, winged bird, also anything that creeps on the ground or anything that's in the water. Well, they messed up. They just forgot a little thing, didn't they? They just put a few images around. It's not a big deal. But remember, he had to dig through. Had to go in, and then he saw it. Here are the elders with their censers actually worshiping idols. But yet they want to sit with Ezekiel and find out what's going on. They also forgot Deuteronomy 5 verse 8 says, you shall not make for yourself a carved image. What? Or any likeness of anything in heaven above or earth below or water under the earth. That kind of limits it to everything to me, doesn't it to you? That kind of makes it that you don't represent anything because God doesn't need that. But they had done it, hadn't they? Well, when you take this and bring it to us, here is an issue of following the wrong people. And when you think about that, let's go to Exodus 32 and kind of use this as an example to think about this. You're aware of what happened in Exodus 32, that Moses is still on the mountain, and with him being on the mountain, the people are upset, aren't they? And so what do? And we're not going to read it all. But they come and they tell Aaron, and I'm paraphrasing, you know, Moses is basically hadn't come back. We need to have gods. Does Aaron say, wait a minute, the Lord that took you through the sea, the Lord that helped us with these plagues, The Lord that took care of us with food and everything, the Lord that said that He will take care of you, the Lord that is giving us the right and wrong, you need to hold up. No, we see that Aaron does just the opposite, because when you look at verse 2, it says, Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in your ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me. Listen to that verse. That verse affects everybody in the nation, doesn't it? It's not just me saying, Art, gather me a few things. It's saying, everybody in here, young or old, give me what you got so I can do something with it. So the effect is overwhelming, isn't it? And then when you go down and you read a little farther, he received the gold from their hand and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molten calf. This is your God, O Israel. And so when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it and made a proclamation. You see several things happening here. You're seeing that a popular movement causes problems, doesn't it? A popular movement swayed Aaron, but he could have stopped it, couldn't he? Because remember, he's a priest, isn't he? He's a priest that should be knowing better, and what does he do? He even fashions the calf. So we got to be careful who we follow, don't we? If you take it a little farther, and we'll get back to Aaron in a minute. When you take it a little farther, I heard some people talking about this, but when you turn to 1 Kings 13, you remember, and I think it was Art that was talking about this. You're going to do some, so I won't go too far in it, I promise. I think Art is going to be talking about the young prophet, but I wanted to just talk real briefly that here was a young prophet that was sent. And here this young prophet is sent because Jeroboam had put idols at Dan and Bethel. He had decided, I'm going to take the place of God, just real quickly. With this young prophet is sent, but he's sent with a mission to go against what's happening, and he does, and he approaches it, and he runs into problems with Jeroboam. The Jeroboam asked him to pray for me, and he does, and things are taken care of. But it doesn't end there, does it? Jeroboam, in going down farther in verse 8 of chapter 13, basically says, come over to my house. You're a good guy. Surely you're from God. I'm paraphrasing because I don't want to take from Art. And he says, I can't do that. Now here's a young prophet. He's got to be hungry. So he says, I still can't do it. And he says in verse 9, listen to what he says in verse 9 of 1 Kings 13. For so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall not eat bread, nor drink water, nor return by the same way you came. So he went another way and did not return by the way. But he found out. He was found out as he's traveling by this older prophet. And the older prophet said, well, it's okay. I'm a prophet too. Everything's okay. You can follow me. I'll take care of you because I've been told by an angel, right? And when you go over in the next page in your Bible, it says, but he lied to him. So here was a situation that he thought everything was okay. He's following, you know, another prophet. But listen to what happens to him before we're through. Listen to how this happens when we think about this. In Acts 20 and 28, it says, take heed to yourselves and to the flock, talking to the elders. You've got to look at yourself first. And listen, for I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to what? To draw away the disciples after themselves. So we all have to be careful, don't we? We have to be careful who we're following. When you go a little farther in there and you look and go back to Ezekiel 8, we see that following these movements was a problem. And whoever we were following was a problem. And we saw some examples. But listen to what happens as we read the rest of this. In verse 12 it says, then he said to me, son of man, have you seen what the elders... This is back in Ezekiel 8 and verse 12. Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the room of his idols? For they say, the Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken us. And he said, turn again and you will see greater abominations that they are doing. So he brought me to the door of the north gate of the Lord's house, and to my dismay, women were sitting there weeping for Tammuz. So now we have the elders, we have these men that think, well, no one can see me, and even the women outside. But listen, we'll go farther. Then he said to me, this is verse 15, have you seen this, O son of man? Turn again, you will see greater abominations than these. So he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and there at the door of the temple between the porch and the altar were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they were worshiping the sun. So now there has even been reference that these were priests that were worshiping the sun. And listen to what it says. Then he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? It's a trivial thing to the house of Judah to commit the abominations which they commit here, for they have filled the land with violence. They have returned to provoke me to anger. Indeed, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore, I will act in fury. My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. You know, when you think about this, here are these leaders. Here are these godly men. And these godly men are trying to hide by worshiping the creature, worshiping the sun, and even turning their back to the altar. Getting pretty bad, isn't it? And even the women, so it's affected everybody. When you think about this, about hiding, when you go to Joshua chapter 7, we always remember about somebody hiding something, and our kids are even studying these verses. But in Joshua chapter 7, remember what's happened. They've gone to Jericho, and the Lord told them to do what? Don't take any of the spoils. Don't fool with anything of these things that they will cause problems. And then after this, what happens is they end up going into battle. And when you read in verse 5 of chapter 7, and the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from the gate as far as Shebarim. What happened here? The Lord was with them. The Lord was part of what was going on. He said, don't take anything. And then what does Joshua do? He rips up his clothes. He fell on the earth. And what does the Lord say? You need to stand up. There's something that's gone on. There is something trying to be hidden from me. And guess who did it? Achan. And when he's found out, what do they do? He says, I found these spoils. I saw the Babylonian garment and all this. But listen to what happens. Joshua in chapter 7 and verse 25 says, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. So Israel takes him out. Now listen to this. Takes him out with stones, and they burned them with fire after they stoned them with stones. But listen to who they sent. Wedge of gold, his sons, his daughter, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, all that he had. They brought them to the valley of Achor, and they stoned them. Can't hide from God, can you? Doesn't matter who you are, you can't hide from God. When you think about that, the kids know a real good story. It's Jonah and the big fish. And he is sent for a mission, or told to go on a mission, isn't he? And he's supposed to preach to the people of Nineveh. What does he do? He tries to take the ship to get away, doesn't he? He tries to go a different direction because he doesn't want them to repent, does he? So what is he trying to do? He's trying to avoid God and hope that he can get away from him. You can't get away from God, can you? When you think about that and you take it to what we think about as inhabitants of the earth, it says the Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men from the place of his habitation. He looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. You try to hide like these people were hiding when they were worshiping this. What did they say in Ezekiel 8? They said, ah, Lord can't see us. No big deal. You know, we're behind the dirt. Remember, we're all getting to see like God, so we've got to think about ourselves, don't we? That means that you can see other people too and see what's going on. And here, just like Jonah, he didn't want to do it, did he? And he tried to get away, and the kids know that. Well, when you take it even farther, besides these priests and these elders, look at what the women were doing. So it didn't just affect the spiritual leaders. It didn't just only hit the priests, but the women were outside raising their arms and being upset for a god that has to do with fertility of the land or fertility period. And here they were so entrenched that it was coming down to the women. So it affected everybody. That's a pretty sad situation, isn't it? It means no one got away. Well, when you take this a little farther, what about the influence? Like I said, if you look at the leadership and you look about hiding from God, what about the influence? Well, what does the Lord say about Aaron and the people? Did He say, well, it's okay, it was just a small calf. Well, it ain't a big deal. Aaron, it's okay, you can be a weak leader every once in a while. No. What He said is, now therefore let me alone that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them. And Moses says, hang on, Lord. And it didn't happen. But it could have affected everybody, couldn't it? Because when you go in there and you look at this and you see that all the people and the leadership had changed, the weak leadership, they had lost faith in the Lord, hadn't they? And He says, let's get rid of them. We'll start over. And He could have done it, couldn't He? We'll go back to Ezekiel in a second. Well, what about the old prophet? It says, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord and have not kept the commandment which the Lord commanded you, you are going to die, aren't you? And he dies. Talk about the young prophet. He believes in this old prophet instead of God. He decided that I'll follow this person even though he lied. And we know it. It's called believing a lie, isn't it? So we have to be careful. And look at ourselves again, right? Well, what about Achan and the nation? Well, we saw this, and the men of A struck down about 36 men and chased them down. And then what was the other result? It wasn't just Achan. It was his wife, his kids, his donkeys, everything that he owned was stoned. So there was a big effect there, wasn't there? And guess what the effect was that everybody saw it? Because the whole congregation stoned them, didn't they? When you come down to the bottom part, Jonah causes problems. Then the men asked Jonah, why have you done this? And God relented from the disaster that He said He would bring on who, do you think? The people that Jonah was supposed to go preach to. That if he didn't go preach, what was the Lord going to do? Gone, aren't they? So the effect, you've got to be careful, don't we? We've got to understand that we affect different people. When you think about that, here we are as a body of Christ that says that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. That here, even though we get to look out and see these problems, even though we get to look out and understand there's other problems, it says we better take care of what's going on inside, don't we? Because we all got to work together. It means that as we look at ourselves, we got to make sure everything's right with us, don't we? We've got to make sure that God knows that we're right. Because when you go in there in 2 Kings 20 and verse 15, it says, what have they seen in your house? Well, go back to Ezekiel chapter 8. I shouldn't be here much longer than another hour. But if you'll turn back to Ezekiel chapter 8, we'll get through here. When you go to Ezekiel chapter 8 and you finish up with what the Lord has said, that there's not going to be any slack, listen to what He does in chapter 9. Listen to the results of what He's seen in chapter 8. It says, then He called out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, let those who have charge over the city draw near, each with a deadly weapon in his hand. And suddenly six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his battle axe in his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen, had a writer's inkhorn at his side. They went in and stood beside the bronze altar. Listen to this. Now the glory of God of Israel had gone up from the cherub where it had been to the threshold of the temple. And He called to the men clothed in linen who had the writer's inkhorn at His side. And the Lord said, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within. So there was maybe some good people there, right? But listen to what happens. Listen to what happens because of the leadership and because of them being hypocrites. It says, to the others, he said in my hearing, go after him through the city and kill. Do not let your eyes spare nor have any pity. Listen to this. Utterly slay old, young, men, maidens, little children, women, but do not come near anyone on whom the mark is. You know, when you look at these people, and they were hypocrites, the elders were sitting in front of Ezekiel, and then he saw this stuff. There is loss, isn't there? There's loss because of following the wrong cause. There's loss because you think you can hide from God. There's loss because we think that we can do things outside of God. And it doesn't work, does it? What's in your house? What's happening in your house? Where are you? As you think about this morning and think about where you are, because you've gotten to see like God, were you able to look at yourself and say, oh, I'm not going to do that? Were you able to look at yourself and say, I'm going to be godly? I'm not going to follow the wrong movement. I'm not going to, you know, follow somebody when the Lord told me not to do it. You got to make that choice yourself, don't you? It's not an easy choice. If you have not obeyed the gospel, haven't put on the name of Christ, you have an opportunity. It's not just in this assembly. It can be any time. But when you accept that responsibility, comes a responsibility that you follow the Lord and that you're obedient. And that you take a constant look at yourself. You know, Jason used to sell alarm systems, and he told me one time that when the alarms are hooked up in your house, whether they're on, but with your fire alarm, that what's constantly happening, if I'm right, Jason, that it sends out a power to that alarm, to the smoke alarm, and says, are you running? Are you working? Will it go off? Even though you don't have the alarm system on, it's always checking it. Well, you know, the Lord's doing that with us, isn't he? He's constantly just doing little checks because you can't hide from it. If you think you can, you're going to be just like these people in Ezekiel 8. You're going to be just like the leaders in Ezekiel 8. There's another part that the Lord, we know that in 1 John, he tells us we have an advocate with the Father so that if we've messed up, we can come back. We can repent, make things right. If you're a subject to either one of these invitations, I ask you to come while Brent leads us in the song.